You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome into another edition of the Gig'em 24/7 Sports Podcast. I am Andrew Hattersley, joined by Carter Carls. We were talking before the podcast. It's been a minute since we've been on together. We've both been on the road traveling out at the All-American Bowl, obviously, earlier this month. Good to be back on you. We got a lot to discuss.
Yes, sir, man. I'm back and refreshed from vacation. Went to Colorado for the week, so that was fun. But, yeah, ready to get back into it and talk some football, some hoops, and everything we've got planned. So I'm excited.
Yeah, we've obviously a big one coming up this weekend for Texas A&M, coming off wins over LSU and Missouri. Chance to maybe get some momentum going. I think this will be probably their biggest test of the last couple of weeks. When you look at going back to that Arkansas game and the Kentucky game, they've already played some difficult ones, but this is certainly going to be a big one this weekend, and we're going to dive into that. But Mike Elko has certainly given us a lot to talk about. On the football front, A&M, there's not been many teams that have been more active in the transfer portal than Texas A&M. They put out the roster of guys that had enrolled in time for the spring. Well over 30 guys have already made it in for the spring, and a significant portion of that from the transfer portal, and then some high school guys as well. When you look at just the overall picture of what A&M added, what are some of the big takeaways that you kind of have from what do you like? What are some of the big takeaways?
Yeah, so right now they're at 22 scholarship transfers. So first of all, generally, that's not what A&M has ever done. Under Jimbo Fisher, they never, ever, ever went after transfers. They finally did last year, and they got a bunch of scrubs. They mostly just added guys to add guys. Now, a couple of them were great. I mean, Jahdae Walker ended up being awesome. Jalen Henderson sure seems to have some promise. But everyone else kind of stunk up the joint. And it's not to say that they were completely unimpactful, but, you know, for the most part, not a lot. But here you've got a lot of guys who have started for other programs, were either, all conference at a group of five level, or they started at a power five or SEC program. You look at guys like DeRicky Wright, a multi-year starter at Vanderbilt. These are guys who have experience. They have, they're battle tested, but then there's also a nice blend of guys who, you know, haven't quite proven themselves, but have intriguing qualities. A guy like Des Ricks, right, a former five-star recruit who we think has a ton of talent. It just hasn't shown it yet in college. So it's a nice blend of high upside guys who are younger and experienced guys who have either, made their name, made a name for themselves at you know, a big program, or are looking to make that jump from Group of Five to A&M. We'll get more into it, but obviously Nick Skowerton's the big name from Purdue. I mean, that's the kind of guy that could get some preseason All-American honors. I think Cassius Howell out of Bowling Green is maybe the second best after him. I mean, that's a kid who tied for the lead in sacks in his conference. And then you've really after that, after those two additions, you look at all the additions in that DB room. I can't wait for the spring personally, because how that plays out, I really have no clue. It is going to be so unpredictable, and I think it's something A&M fans should look forward to.
I really love what they did when you look at the DB room and the offensive line room as well, because let's not forget that A&M is expected to return Cam Dewberry, Bryce Foster, Trey Zune, Demetrius Crownover, Ruben Fothery. They didn't just sit on that group. They went out and added Derek Graham, Armaj Reed-Adams, and Dorian Hinton to just add to that competition level. Mark Naboo, another one. And then you've got, you know, guys kind of heading into, you know, multiple years on campus, like TJ Shanahan, Hunter Erb. You just got a lot. It feels like they didn't sit back and say, we're fine with, you know, the returning guys that we have, and, you know, we don't want any of them to leave. They went out and were aggressive in adding guys to that room, and I think that's going to end up serving them well down the road. And this, you could say the same about the competition level. Obviously, you knew coming into the offseason that A&M was going to have to add guys in the secondary, and they went out and did that. You look at that cornerback room with Donovan Saunders, flipping him from TCU, Marcus Radcliffe. You know, you still got Bryce Anderson, Jacoby Matthews, Jared Kerr coming back, Dalton Brooks. It's going to be fun during the spring and the summer to really watch those guys compete. You got Sam McCall, you got Javon Thomas, Bravion Rogers. I just like that they didn't sit back and say, we're just going to add a couple depth guys here and there. Like, we're going to go out and try to add guys that can compete for starting roles. BJ Mays is another guy that I think is a really exciting addition. And you talk about Jaden Hill too, from Florida, him and Scooby Williams coming over. There's just so many additions that they made that, you know, you're adding guys that have played, like we said, they've been either starters, they've been some all conference. And obviously the headliner of that group is getting a pass rusher like Nick Skowerton, who the final one I'll point out is, he did, and I expect it'll continue down the line. He was on our 24/7 Sports projected All-American candidates, so he's already, like you said, getting some preseason All-America buzz, and 24/7 has got you covered right here on that front.
I gotta say, man, just circling back to what you said about the competition, I never understood it last year. I show up. Yeah. Start covering A&M in February, cover spring, and it was like this team didn't care about competition. And I'm not talking about the players. I'm talking about the coaches. You know, they had like 45, 50 scholarship players healthy practicing in the spring. So many guys, I got a bruise in practice yesterday. Oh, okay, you can sit out the next day. Oh, you know, I want to go play track. Oh, okay, sounds good. You know, there was just like there was too many guys sitting out. There was too many guys just not on the team. They were so light on scholarship numbers that you felt like a guy could miss six practices and it wouldn't matter. You know, we saw guys last year sit out of games and it wouldn't matter for their starting spot. It just felt like there was no competition. There was no consequences. There was no, oh, crap, if I don't play today. Oh, crap, if I don't practice today, I could lose my spot. And that's what you need in college. It brings out the best in you to have competition. And the fact that they're going to be bringing in like 50 DBs to this room, like if you're a Bryce Anderson, if you're a Jacoby Matthews, two guys that we think have bright futures, you're kind of looking over your shoulder a little bit. You're probably working a little bit harder. You may not miss that practice that you would have missed last year. And I just think it is a, when you talk about a culture change, that's the number one thing for me was availability. We saw so many starters miss playing time and miss games last year and practices last year. And everyone just kind of lived with it and said, oh, you know, he's got a thigh bruise or he's got this or that. And it's like, no, point me to another team in the country who, outside of major injuries, has all these starters missing games left and right for minor things. So I love it. I think it's exactly what this team and program needs. And, you know, I'm not afraid to point that out. If people want to, like, kind of be scared to point that out or whatever, but I'm just like, this program needed that, and it's going to be a fun spring. I would anticipate with the multi-transfer rule that, hey, some of these guys may not stick around. They might battle it out this spring, and then they learn in April, hey, yeah, you're going to be a third teamer this year, man. And it's going to be like, oh, crap, well, now I got to transfer out. That's the kind of competition you're going to see this spring. And can't say enough about how great that will be for this program.
So, Don, you even look at that running back room, right? Like we kind of mentioned A&M was bringing in a couple transfer running backs, and folks kind of said, you know, you're bringing back Amari Daniels, Le'Veon Moss, and Reuben Owens. They still go out and add EJ Smith to that room. And again, just kind of add another experienced option. They didn't take a high school running back. So you felt like they needed to at least add somebody to that room, and they go out and add a guy who was once a four-star prospect coming out of high school, probably didn't have the type of success that he thought he was going to have at Stanford. Injuries were a part of that as well. Come and add to that quarter, coming to add to the running back room and add depth to that room and more competition. And, you know, I think he's going to push. He's going to push for he can bring a little bit that you don't have in that room. I think he's a good pass blocker. He's a good weapon out of the backfield. We saw that in high school. Again, didn't quite see that at the college level because he just hasn't been able to stay healthy. But you're going to add guys that are going to push, and you're right. And what I'll say about Jimbo Fisher is it just didn't seem like the actions matched up to words, right? Like he talked all the time in spring practice about competition and nobody's earned a spot and all this sort of stuff. And yet the competition didn't match that what he was saying on the back end. So, you know, and I think one other part about this is when you look at this full roster that A&M now has, this kind of gives you a chance to look at the spring and say, okay, because there's another portal window to go. And then you mentioned that spring portal window. A&M can kind of take a step back because I don't think there's necessarily a massive glaring need. They kind of hit every area they needed to hit in the January window. You can kind of take a step back and for me, maybe one additional area might be adding another linebacker potentially. But other than that, like they've pretty much checked a lot of the boxes they needed to in terms of numbers. Now you can sit back and say, okay, where can we kind of still add to this team and get better?
Yeah, maybe add another blue chip if he becomes available. Just, you know, stack talent upon talent. If make strength even more of a strength if you can find another Nick Scowerton kind of kid that comes available in that window. But, not a ton of just glaring needs. I am curious how cornerback will shake out. You got a lot of options there now. That's really the position for me. Linebacker is another one, but cornerback, obviously a huge struggle there last year. If you get Tyreek Chappelle back and you know, you got the younger guys coming up, Javon Thomas, Bravion Rogers, you got something to work with there. And then you got these transfers, but they all kind of are either unproven or have a red flag. Like BJ Mays, for example, out of UAB, I think he had 16 penalties over the last couple of years. Can he clean that up? Can he, you know, we've seen him be pretty productive, but can he clean that up and not be a player that's, you know, going to draw a lot of pass interferences? Des Ricks, right? Tons of talent, but hasn't shown it yet. So to expect these guys to get in there and then immediately you know, be all conference. I don't know if that's the expectation, but there is a lot to work with, and you just need a couple of those guys to hit. You're not asking for every guy to be a superstar. And when you look at 22 transfers, not all of them are going to be playing, right? You're going to have a few guys that, man, they didn't pass their physical, or they weren't good, or they, you know, the guy ahead of them was way better. Some of them won't play. Some of them will be superstars. Some of them will be, you know, okay starters. Some of them will be good backups. It's a numbers game, and that's why you get these many transfers. This is why you go in the spring with high numbers, so you can have it work out. They will go in the spring, by my count, 81 scholarship players, and then they'll add 9 more through 7 high school signees, or 5 high school signees, 2 high school commits, and 2 transfers, all in June. So all told, they should get to 90, and they don't have to get to the 85-man scholarship limit until the first day of the fall semester. So they can afford to be high on numbers. They can afford to let it all play out and see how it goes. And, you know, there's going to be guys who leave the team, right? We saw it last year. Jalen Preston left. Josh Bankhead medically retired. Numbers typically work themselves out, so no one should be stressed out about that or anything. And I think the competition this spring will also take care of that.
No doubt. Got to ask you real quick your thoughts on the coaching staff, because obviously everything now that we're kind of settled down on that front, Mike Elko kind of has his on-field staff together. What are obviously Holman Wiggins is kind of the big addition there. Adding him from Alabama is huge, and I think you're going to see that effect on the recruiting trail in especially 2025. I think, you know, he came in, was able to get Ryan Williams on campus. That, you know, that was going to be kind of a tough ask to make. They were trying to make a late run there. And so, you know, he ends up going back to Alabama. I don't think that's necessarily a negative on Holman Wiggins. The fact they got him in for an official visit is positive, but just your thoughts on this staff and kind of what they put together.
And first of all, I mean, we also mentioned like them keeping BGA as an analyst.
Yeah, that's huge.
That is really huge. I mean, I was talking with DeRicky Wright, the safety from Vanderbilt. He was talking to me about how BGA made such a big impact on his recruitment because he actually made him feel like that he really cared about him. And he was like, hey, I want to talk to your wife and like get to know her a little bit while he was recruiting him. So before I get into anything, I want to just say like that keeping BGA as an analyst was a huge deal.
Miles Davis is also another one that has had high praise for just adding on to your point for BGA. And those two are super close. He talked about, you know, kind of one of the negatives coming into last year was he hadn't coached as an on-field guy. And you know, BGA got him on the phone with Antonio Johnson, and Antonio Johnson ran down exactly how BGA impacted his career. And so, you know, I just adding on to your point about that, about BGA, I completely agree.
Yeah. And just looking at this coaching staff now, it looks solid. Still some questions, but I think just starting offensively, Colin Klein really liked that hire. Everyone you talk to seems to think this is a young, bright mind. Clearly Notre Dame had high thoughts about him. Penn State, you know, there have been a lot of teams that have flirted with the idea of adding Colin Klein. So it's kind of like that recruit who has offers from Bama, LSU, and Ohio State, where you're like, okay, well, if he has offers from these other schools, that must mean he's pretty good. But I think he will. It'll be a much different change offensively for A&M with Colin Klein in a good way. Defensively, I have questions. Jay Bateman, a little bit of a head scratcher. I know he had a lot of success at Army and was very impressive there. But his last two stops, Florida and North Carolina, two of the worst defenses in the country both years. And not all of that was on him. Some of that came from the top as well. he was a bit of a scapegoat under both coaching staffs. I don't know how much longer Billy Napier's surviving there at Florida. So
the leash is getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah, so it's kind of hard to tell on that one, but with Elko having so much of a defensive mind and obviously having a history with Jay Bateman coaching together, it settles the mind a little bit more on that hire. And then you've got a lot of guys who like, oh, Trooper Taylor. You know, we've heard Trooper Taylor. Sorry, I said Trailer. I think I'm still caught up with the whole Jeff Trailer rumors with A&M. But Trooper Taylor, unrelated to Jeff Trailer, we've heard how great of a recruiter he is. A guy that Duke named as their interim coach, very well liked by pretty much all the players at Duke. I think he's going to have that same impact at A&M. Holman Wiggins, another guy who could be an elite recruiter. Questions with him are, can he develop talent? We saw him bring in a lot of high-profile guys at Bama that didn't pan out, but he still was able to get a lot of high-profile guys. So if just a couple of those guys hit, hey, you're in business there. So, and then, you know, some Duke guys like Cushing and Doherty, right? Guys that Elko trusts. You'd like to think that Elko knows what he's doing there. Tony Girardetti, one other guy you got to mention, elevated from an analyst role. Good for that dude. I know he's been well loved by everyone here in Aggie land, and someone that deserved a shot at some point. And he was not going to be fully on the D line. You also got Coach Chaos, Sean Spencer there. So I think that'll help him, having a guy who's got experience, not just in the SEC, college football, but also the NFL, can help through him through that transition. So a lot to like, still some questions. And Bateman's the one where I'm just wondering, okay, what's he going to bring to the table? Haven't seen him be very good in a little bit, but you know, Elko and him have a history, and I think that they have a trust with each other.
No doubt. I think you're going to see Mike Elko really oversee kind of that defensive side of the ball. Obviously, he brings a ton of experience there, so I expect him to be very involved on that front. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to discuss a big one that's coming up for Texas A&M basketball. Ole Miss coming to Reed Arena, a big opportunity to add a key signature win, and we'll discuss that right after a quick break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
If I rule the world.
What brings you to the show?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down! Walk right up to
the side. A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.
Welcome back into the Gig'em 24/7 Sports Podcast. I am Andrew Hattersley, joined by Carter Carls. Got to discuss a big one for Texas A&M on Saturday. Ole Miss coming to town. Feels like this A&M team still has, they grinded out a win over Missouri earlier this week. Not the prettiest win, but we're able to get the job done, and a win is a win in the SEC. Where do you kind of make where this team is, and does this feel like as big a one for you as it seems like?
Well, if you ask A&M fans, they'll say the sky is falling. They hate this team. Bush should get fired, and you know the world is about to end when it comes to Aggie basketball. This is the funniest team in A&M basketball history because they are capable of being phenomenal, and they are capable of being absolutely horrendous, and
all in the same game sometimes.
And all in the same game too. It is mind-boggling. I mean, you put an alien on Earth and say, "Hey, watch the first half of Houston or the second half of Houston, and then watch the whole Missouri game, or watch the first half against Arkansas, or watch the whole LSU, the first LSU game." They would all be like, one alien would say, "Wow, second half of Houston, they're the greatest team I've ever seen in my life." And then the other would say, "Oh, that first LSU game, this team is atrocious." Like, it is incomprehensible. I don't even understand it. But it's why you can't give up on this team, but you also can't overreact to the positives that this team does. You almost can't have an opinion about every game until the buzzer sounds, and you can't have an opinion on the season until it ends, because this team will surprise you just when you're done with them. They'll pull out the Kentucky win, and just when you're buying back in, they'll look terrible against YMCA Missouri, whatever you want to call them. Anyway, they can still get it on track, and their schedule sets up perfectly over the next few weeks. They've got Ole Miss coming to town, which is obviously a huge one. Then they have a whole week off, their first bye week in a few years, and then Florida, and then at Missouri. They can win those three games. You're looking at a five-game winning streak. You're looking at 15-7 overall, and you're looking at 6-3 in conference. And, you know, they put themselves ahead of the chains as far as NCAA tournament conversation because of those four quadrant one wins that they have, three coming in the non-conference play. So, you know, they can afford to lose a quad two game, a few more quad ones. You don't want to see them lose at Missouri or, you know, against these cream puffs. But they've put themselves in a situation where they can be bad on the occasion. But they still got to get some wins. They got to beat the bad teams. Missouri coming up, right? You got to win that game. Ole Miss is an opportunity to, you know, have another marquee win. I'm not sure if it would count as quad one by the end of the season, but they're a team that's been in and out of the rankings. They're a team that started, you know, 12, 13, 14, and 0. But Ole Miss is a weird one because they didn't beat anybody in their non-conference for the most part. But they're still a nice win to have. So they're not going to be somebody that's super high in the net for you. I'm looking it up as we speak.
I think they were in like the 80s or 90s, I think, when I looked. Like they're
62
so, now. Okay, they're up to 62.
I believe that's quadrant two. Since it's
yeah, that would be.
I think it's 1 through 25 is quad one, and then yeah. I think it goes 26 through 75.
I think so.
Yeah. So that's if you're at home. So Ole Miss could still move up if they win a bunch of big games, but that's a big jump to make in a little amount of time. They probably would need to win a ton of games against great teams to move up like that. So it's a quad two. You can afford to lose it. It's not a huge deal. It's not the end of the world if you lose it, but it'd be a nice win to have. And again, it could set you up for a five-game winning streak. And, you know, you're 15-7 going up against Tennessee, you know, arguably the best team in the conference. That'd be a nice spot to be in if you're A&M.
No doubt. You've got those two matchups against Tennessee, so you've got a chance to pick up a signature win. Tennessee's really good, obviously playing really well. And this Ole Miss team can't look at what they did earlier this week. They're a good team. It would be a nice win. And you start to build some momentum. You talk about kind of how unpredictable this team is. You talk about the Kentucky game, and then you look at the way they came out against LSU and Arkansas and say, how is this a team that ended up beating Kentucky? But that's kind of the roller coaster that they're on right now. It obviously starts with Wade Taylor and what he's able to do, put up an incredible performance against Arkansas. Then you look at the LSU game, and, you know, he's only played 6 minutes in the first half and is out with two fouls. And A&M's able to stay in that game. I thought that was huge, just what they were able to do. And, you know, you need to get Tyrese Radford obviously going consistently now, and I think that would help a lot. But, yeah, I've always said this about Buzz Williams, and it's played true in the last couple of years. Be careful of giving up on them in December and January, because this is a team that seems to always play their best basketball when it comes to February and March. And so that's why I'm always careful about writing them off too soon, because it's just kind of the way they always seem to be built, is they seem to kind of hit their stride come February or March. It's not going to look pretty in December and January. And then they start to kind of find their gear. So it's going to be interesting to see. And you will certainly have the coverage of the A&M Ole Miss game. And be sure to stay tuned over at Gigham 24/7 for all the latest. Thanks again to everybody for joining. Be sure to like and share these videos. Helps us a lot. And be sure to subscribe both on the audio and the video side to get your podcasts and videos. And we'll be back next week again to discuss a little more. We got Aggie baseball coming up. We're going to discuss that soon as well. And look a little more at this A&M football team as they kind of head towards their first spring under Mike Gelko. So until then, have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you guys soon.
Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am ready.
Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!